Well, I'm so glad we are here together to study the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as He directs our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your presence. And we thank You that Your Word promises us that where two or three are gathered, there You are in our midst. And so we acknowledge Your presence today. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, and the Spirit of grace will be able to teach us once again from Your Word. And will I submit myself to the authority of Your Holy Spirit to speak Your Word through me and to communicate what You want each one of us to hear today and to be shaped and molded more and more into our Lord's image. These things we pray, thanking You for Your goodness and mercy that have been following us all the days of our lives, and even to the very end. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, a touching and tender story is told of Mary Jones. Mary Jones was 10 years old when she began saving money for something special she wanted to buy. She babysat, tended neighbors' gardens, and sold eggs from her own chickens. By the time she was 16, she had accumulated enough money to get what she so desperately wanted. Was it a new car? A fresh wardrobe from the latest designer? A Nintendo? Or a high-end latest smartphone or tablet? No, Mary Jones was 16 in the year 1800, and what she had been saving for was a Bible. But there was no place to buy one in the tiny Welsh village where she lived. So she walked to Baylor, 25 miles away. There, Reverend Thomas Charles had one Bible left to sell. And after some convincing, Mary talked him into selling it to her. Because of Mary's hunger for the Bible, Reverend Charles and others began discussing the need of making the scriptures more readily available. The British and Foreign Bible Society was started, and during the next 100 years, it distributed more than 200 million copies of God's Word worldwide. You see, to Mary, nothing was important than the Bible, and her persistence paid huge spiritual dividends. Do you treasure God's Word as much? Mary Jones knew that the Bible, God's Word, is from the heart of God to His people, whom He loves and always wants the very best for. So this brings me to the main idea of the very first verse-by-verse expositional message in our Zephaniah series. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring word in order to transform true born-again believers more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, the sanctifier and the sustainer of the church, and to turn the unbelieving or the unsaved from the sin of unbelief, graciously and gently leading them to genuine repentance and personal faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd and savior of lost or repentant sinners. So here is our message in a nutshell. So please listen attentively to it with an open heart and an open mind. God's word comes from God Himself to God's people through God's chosen servant at God's appointed time. I repeat, God's word comes from God Himself to God's people through God's chosen servant at God's appointed time. folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to freshly and forcefully remind us of the simple yet significant teaching that God's word, listen, comes to his people through God's own chosen servant at a time God himself has selected to do so. This is exactly what we are about to see in the opening verse of the powerful and practical prophetic book of Zephaniah. So if you have your Bibles, please turn them to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this verse, which is the focus of our study today, from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. Listen, as we begin Zephaniah verse by verse. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah." This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. The opening verse in the prophetic book of Zephaniah is only 20 words in the original. But I tell you, friends, please do not make the mistake of thinking that just because it is brief, there is not much to learn from it. In fact, you are going to see for yourself how much there is to be learned from the 20-word opening verse of the book of Zephaniah. So this is exactly why the Holy Spirit has led me to devote the entire time of our study today to on verse 1 of the first chapter in Zephaniah. I tell you, friends, you'll be pleasantly surprised at how much the Holy Spirit will reveal to us in our study of this simple 20-word verse in the Hebrew language. Will you please now allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this message to you from start to finish? First of all, we will discuss the fact that the book of Zephaniah, please listen carefully now, in its entirety is a communication from Yahweh to his people in verse 1a. Please listen. The book of Zephaniah begins with an important expression that clearly and concisely and convincingly indicates that it is indeed a communication from God to his people. And what is that important expression? Well, it begins with that important expression that says, "The word of the Lord." Second, we will look at God's chosen vessel of communicating his word to his people in verse 1b. The Bible clearly identifies the intermediary God personally chose to receive the message in the prophetic book of Zephaniah and to relay it to his people. That is not left in doubt. Zephaniah was God's chosen vessel or his channel of communicating his word to his people. Now, let me apply this at this stage, but I'll apply it later on. Do you know that today, if you are a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are God's chosen vessel of communicating his word to others? Just as God chose Zephaniah, He has chosen you and I. You see, you and I may not be a Zephaniah. Nevertheless, we have the awesome privilege of being the channel or conduit through which God communicates his word of life, his word of love, his word of hope and healing to others. So the question to you and me is, do you make the most of that awesome privilege of being the chosen vessel of God to communicate his word to others? Well, third and finally, we examine the concrete time in history when God's word in the book of Zephaniah was received in verse 1c at the end of the verse. You see, the heading of Zephaniah not only reveals to us that the book is a communication from God through his chosen servant, Zephaniah, or the prophetic intermediary, but it also tells us the time period of the prophecy. So three critical truths are revealed to us in that verse. First, that this is a communication from God. Second, we are told the chosen vessel God used to communicate that message. And now third, we are being told the concrete time when God in history allowed Zephaniah to receive the message and to relay to others. You see, friends, God is concerned with concrete times, places, and events. As such, God's word is spoken into particular times in history. And it first of all concerns those specific times. That's why the Bible often gives us datelines or timelines. When you read your Bible, you see, well, it happens in the days of what? Like the birth of Jesus happened in the days of what? Emperor Augustus. In the days of when Augustus made a decree. So we know the timeline. In this instance, it gives us the concrete time in history when Zephaniah received God's word by simply saying, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, and I'll jump, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Well, having given you a concise overview of the opening verse in our Zephaniah series, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so enthused to impress upon our hearts in order to do his work of transforming us more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ to the praise of his glory. So we begin first of all with his teaching emphasizing that the message in the prophetic book of Zephaniah is actually a communication from Yahweh to his people in verse 1a. Friends and fellow believers, please take careful note of this. The book of Zephaniah begins with a brief, bold, and blessed claim that Yahweh, the one true God of the universe, who is fully and finally revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a God who loves to communicate to his people. Notice how the book begins. The Bible says, the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah. The original says, Devar Yahweh, Asher Hayah El Zephaniah. In fact, all the true prophets of God made that claim. What claim? That is the claim that they are speaking words that the Lord himself has given them to speak to his people. Please listen, when we study the writings of the prophets, it is clear that the word of God comes to them from outside of themselves. Notice, Zephaniah didn't say, I have a word for you from myself. What did he say? He says, the word of the Lord which came to what? Zephaniah. It came outside of Zephaniah. Actually, this is emphasized in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, and Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Let me read from Jeremiah. You know he's one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Here is what the Bible says about his prophecy. In verse 15, it says, you know, O Lord, you who know, O Lord, remember me, take notice of me. Oh, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm reading a verse earlier. It says, your words, not my words. He says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So here Jeremiah says, your words were found. Your words I ate. It was not my own words. Then Ezekiel tells us the same principle in different words. In chapter 3, the Bible says, then he, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I'm giving you. Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. So the prophets claim that the words they are speaking come from where? Themselves? No, from God himself. From God himself. So that is very clear that we should understand that. So please listen carefully. The important point being made here is that the fact that the Bible is expressly saying the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah means that it is emphasizing that his prophecy was not the result of his own convictions or his own experiences, but rather that the word was given to him outside of himself by Yahweh the Lord. In other words, the Bible is teaching us here that the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah is not the product, listen carefully, of Zephaniah's own inner musings or of his meditations on the events of his day, but rather a word that comes solely from God, Yahweh himself, often without any preparation by faith or experience on the part of the prophet. I tell you, friends, the word of the Lord is always a transcendent, revelatory word that breaks into human life and history from the divine sphere. And until Yahweh reveals his word, it cannot be known by human beings. So that's the point Zephaniah is telling us, that unless this word was revealed from God, we will not have any way of knowing this word. So when the Bible says the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, know that it is stressing the fact that it is a communication from God to his people, which we could never have known by depending upon our own wisdom and our own experience. And this is very important, because in our age, we so credit subjective experience as a source of revelation. It is noteworthy here that Zephaniah's prophecies were not the result of his own experience or his own wise insight into the signs of his time. His prophecies were given to him by who? Yahweh, the Lord, communicated from God's person to his. Also, it is important for us to understand here that when the Bible says the word of the Lord, the claim it is making here is that the word of the Lord is intended, listen, to apply to the entire book of Zephaniah. Not just selected portions of the book, and not just portions that scholars judge to stem from the prophet himself are to be understood as words from God. No, not at all. All three chapters of Zephaniah are the word of the Lord, bearing the authority of the Lord of heaven and earth, and therefore still authoritative for us today and for the reader in any age. So the question is, how does this teaching that this word is a communication from God apply to us today? How does it apply to you and me today? Well, here's how it applies to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Do you cherish God's word, which is his communication to you. Sometimes people say, this is God's love letter to you. And the question is, do you cherish it as his love letter communicating his heart to you? Do you cling to the Bible? Do you seek its treasures like one who seeks for gold? Do you store the Bible on the shelf? Or do you store it in your heart? You see, some people store their Bibles on the shelf, but not in their hearts. Remember Mary Jones, how she had to walk 25 miles away from her little tiny Welsh village to go to Baylor in order to buy a Bible. You can imagine how she would hold that thing close to her heart because she understood this is God's communication to her. And this is the challenge to you and to me today. Well, Zephaniah begins by telling us that its message is a communication from God to his people. Friends and fellow believers, let me make it clear to us again that the book of Zephaniah is not a biography. It is the word of the Lord, a revelation from God to us. And the important thing is that we read and reflect on it. We search and study it. We meditate and memorize it as such, as the word of the Lord, not the words of men or mere men. Well, having carefully explained that the book of Zephaniah is a communication from Yahweh to his people, let's now closely examine what the Bible says about God's chosen vessel of communicating his word to his people in verse 1b. The Bible clearly and confidently reveals the prophetic intermediary Yahweh himself personally chose to receive the message in the book of Zephaniah and to relay it to his people in Zephaniah's time. The Bible says the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah. We know virtually nothing of Zephaniah except what the Bible tells us in the first verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He tells us in this verse that he is the son of what? The son of Cushi. Only two men in the Old Testament bore this name, Cushi. And he says, Cushi was the son of Gedaliah. Gedaliah meaning Yahweh or the Lord is great. Is great. Gedaliah was the name of five Old Testament men in the Bible. And Gedaliah, Zephaniah tells us, was the son of Amariah. And Amariah means Yahweh or the Lord has said. And there are nine men in the Old Testament who are called by that name, Amariah. Well, Zephaniah goes on to tell us again that Amariah was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah meaning Yahweh or the Lord is my strength. And there are three or four names in the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament who are called by that name, Hezekiah. So what we have here is that the genealogy in the superscription or the heading of Zephaniah, of the prophecy of Zephaniah, is given for four generations. Now, how many of you here can name your ancestors to the fourth generation? I can't even name my grandfather because my grandparents or my grandmother or my grandfather on both sides, I mean, they died before I was born. So I don't even know them. But here was Hezekiah telling us what? His descendants to the fourth generations. No other prophet has his pedigree carried back so far. In other words, Zephaniah's four-generation genealogy is unprecedented in the prophets. You see, it is usual for prophets to name their father and sometimes their grandfather, as the Jews were roots-oriented, as we will say today. In other words, it is not usual in Old Testament usage to note a man's ancestry beyond his grandfather, unless for special purpose. So the question is, what is that special purpose the Bible is trying to reveal to us? Well, that's the special purpose is to reveal to us that Zephaniah was of royal blood and was the great-great-grandson of the godly King Hezekiah. He's saying to us that he was of noble birth and was more closely identified with the ruling class. But Zephaniah is not saying to us that his family background qualified him to become a prophet of God. What qualifies a person to become a servant of God or a prophet of God? Is it his education or her education? Is it his family background or her family background? None of those things qualifies a person to become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What qualifies a minister to become a gospel of Jesus Christ is that God himself will call you. And Zephaniah was called, even though he was of royal descent. He was called to become a minister, a prophet of God. So Zephaniah traced his royal lineage back to his great-great-grandfather, Hezekiah, who reigned as king of Judah from 715 BC to 686 BC. And during Hezekiah's reign, Judah experienced revival in the land. It's like Zephaniah is pointing us to one of the people God used in the history of Judah to bring revival. God raised up Hezekiah to lead his people to return to him. And we'll talk more about that when we come to Josiah. Well, as I have stated in our overview of Zephaniah, the name Zephaniah, pronounced Zephaniah in the Hebrew, means Yahweh hides or shelters or protects or hidden of Yahweh, and suggests that God hides or protects those who belong to him. How precious is that? Bible commentator Elizabeth Achtermeyer shares this insight on how God chose Zephaniah, how he worked through him. And I want you to please listen to her statement. Quote, "The word of God, which according to the Bible is always active, effective force, may work independently of any human agency. For example, the word of God sustains all the processes of nature. But God also uses human beings as the mediators of his word. That is why we read the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah." You see, God could have given that word without Zephaniah, but he chose to use him. God's word comes because God, the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, constantly watches over human history, governs it, interacts with it, and speaks the word into it to change it. We are therefore told that the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah during the reign of Josiah. I tell you, folks, God chooses in his sovereign wisdom those whom he will reveal himself to and those whom he will communicate his word to. Zephaniah was of the royal family, but God chose him to be his channel of communicating his word to his people. And please listen carefully now again as I apply this message to us. Although you and I may not come from a royal family like Zephaniah, yet God, as I said in my overview, has also given us the privilege, in fact, an awesome privilege of being his chosen vessels or channels of communicating his word or his good news to a lost world. Today there are many news channels to which you and I can turn to. If you have a TV or if you have a radio, you can turn to a channel. And what are you going to see or hear? You are going to hear about the news in your community, in your cities, in your counties, in your countries, or even on your continent. Because that's what news channels do. They give news about what? What is happening around us. But do you know that believers are God's good news channels? Through us, God, who doesn't need us in the first place, desires to convey his message of life and love in Jesus Christ to others. In other words, you are God's chosen vessel of communicating his word to others. Today, you are God's consecrated channel of communication. You are God's good news channel. That is why I have entitled this message, God's Good News Channel. Who are those God's Good News Channel? Well, it is not the angels above. It is you and I who have been given the privilege to live in such a time as this, to be the people God will communicate his word through to others. So the question is, are people hearing the message God has given you to deliver to them? Are people hearing the message God has given you to deliver to them? Have you been faithfully giving out the word of God? What good news, if I may ask, of God have people heard from you today? Are people hearing the unadulterated, undiluted, unchanging truth and teaching of God when they tune in to your good news channel? You are not, some channels are Channel 7, ABC, Channel 4, CBS. You are God's good news channel, GNC. So when people turn to your channel, they are expecting to hear what? Good news. In fact, as we are going to see, when the people of Judah and Jerusalem and the surrounding nations tune in to Zephaniah, who was God's channel of communication in that day, they were not disappointed. They heard nothing but the truth from Zephaniah. And that is what God wants you and I to be, as he's given us the privilege to live in such a time as this. Well, having shown that the prophetic message in the book of Zephaniah is a communication from God to his people, and having stated that Zephaniah, a man of royal blood, was God's chosen vessel of communicating his word to his people, the Holy Spirit now spells out to us the concrete time in which, in history, when God's word in the book of Zephaniah was received. We see that at the end of verse 1. The concrete time in history when Zephaniah received God's word is clearly and concisely spelled out for us in these words. It says, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. King of Judah. You see, friends, God is interested in time and human events. After all, remember, God created time. Time didn't just happen. God created time. And time is also under God's control. So he created time, he controls time, and also carries out his divine purposes at his appointed time. That is why the Bible says to us, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. It also says to us, He, referring to God, has made everything appropriate, literally beautiful, in His time. So our God created time, He controls time, and He carries out His purposes at His appointed time. So the appointed or appropriate time, God Himself chose to communicate a message in the entire book of Zephaniah, consisting of only 53 verses, was in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Melech Yehuda, king of Judah. Melech Yehuda. Well, the name Josiah means Yahweh or the Lord supports. His father, Amon, was an evil king who reigned only for 2 years in Jerusalem before he was assassinated by his own officials. The name Amon means trustworthy. So his father gave him a name that means this son is to show us how to be trustworthy. Well, sadly, he did not live up to his name of being found trustworthy in following and serving the trustworthy God. And so, after he reigned for only 2 years, he was assassinated because he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, the important question to ask us here is, when were the days of Josiah? In other words, when did Josiah reign as king of Judah? Well, history tells us that Josiah ruled as king of Judah from 640 BC when he was only 8 years old. Imagine that. He became king at 8 years old. So 640 until 609. BC, when he died in battle against Pharaoh Necho after a 31-year reign in Jerusalem. Actually, Josiah, as I look at his life, was a unique king of Judah because, first of all, his birth and future ministry were prophesied long before he became king by an unnamed man of God from Judah in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. Remember, the kingdom has been separated. The northern kingdom is now being ruled by Jeroboam. And he decided to make what? Golden calves for the people to worship. He didn't want the people to go back to Jerusalem, because if they go back to Jerusalem and worship, they will turn to the king reigning in Judah, who is Rehoboam. So the man of God, who was a prophet, he says, he cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. So this boy Josiah, long before he became king, there was a prophecy about him becoming king, and that he would destroy that altar, that adulterous altar in Bethel. Josiah also was a unique king of Judah, because God used him to bring spiritual revival in the southern kingdom of Judah. This will be the last spiritual revival in the land of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. So that truly made Josiah a unique king of Judah, because his revival will be the last. And after that revival, judgment came upon Judah. That last revival didn't last long. It was short-lived. After Josiah's death, three of his sons, and one grandson reigned as the last of the Davidic dynasty in Jerusalem. And all these sons and grandson did evil in the sight of the Lord. And within 25 years of Josiah's death, the Babylonians completely destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and took the people into exile. But here is something important I want to share with you before I bring this message to a close. It is important to share with you how God brought revival in the land of Judah through Josiah. It all happened when the book of the law was rediscovered, and how Josiah responded to the reading of it when he heard it. Josiah's response to the word of God with a tender and humble heart will lead to renewal of covenant relationship with the Lord, reforms in Jerusalem and Judah and beyond, removal of idolatry in the land, and then revival broke loose in the land. Let me just give you a glimpse of how that is written in 2 Kings chapter 22. I'll read just a few verses. In verse 8, the Bible says, this is in the reign of Josiah. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Akbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning it." And then they went, and the prophet gave a word back to Josiah. But here's another thing we need to learn about Josiah. The legacy that he left behind is summarized for us in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. The Bible says, listen to him. Listen to the Bible. It says, "Before him," that is referring to Josiah, "there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." So that's why I said to you, Josiah was a unique king of Judah. You see, despite the moral depravity, corruption, and adultery among God's people, God used Josiah to bring revival in the land. All because of what? The book of the law was found, and Josiah took it to his heart. Now remember, Josiah didn't listen to a new prophecy, but just what was written. He read and responded to it. And then what happened? God started working in his life, and revival broke loose in the land of Judah. Well, please listen. Just as God raised up Josiah to lead a revival in Judah during his reign, so I also believe God is able to raise up one of his children today to lead a revival in our generation, which may be the last revival before judgment comes, as it was in the case of the revival in Josiah's generation. The question is, believer in Jesus Christ, will it be you or will it be me? Or do you think that you are too old or too young to be used by God to bring a revival? Well, age is not the issue, as we can see from Josiah's life. The question is, will you make yourself available to God to do His divine work through you? Will you yield yourself to God to accomplish His supernatural work through you for His glory and for your good? Will you sincerely say to Him today, Lord, here am I. Use even me. Will you be committed and responsive to the written word of God with a tender and humble heart? And will you be God's good news channel through whom He spreads His message of life, love, faith, and forgiveness to a lost world? That's what Josiah's life is challenging us to. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot, like Zephaniah, be hidden or protected in the day of God's righteous judgment. Why? You do not belong to Him. So the question is, how do you belong to God? First of all, you must be born again. You must be brought into a saving relationship with Him. And how is a sinner born again and brought into a saving relationship with a holy and true God revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible simply says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So you believe what? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. So that means believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believe that Jesus was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west. Believe that Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And the Bible says you'll be saved and set apart for His purposes in this life and in the life soon to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message reminding us that You have used people like us, common people like us, to bring revival and to communicate Your truth to others. Lord, it is now our turn to be Your chosen vessels to communicate Your word to others around us, people we meet each day that You give us life here on earth. And I pray, Father God, that as Zephaniah made the most of his opportunity to be a channel of communication to others, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will help each one of us today to remain faithful, to be a good news channel for God in our time, in our generation. And now, Lord, I pronounce Your blessing upon Your people. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. And all God's people said, Amen.